Trustees Cannon, McDermott, Rivera, and Elliker are in attendance. We're going to, because we don't have a quorum yet, going to start with a investment report. So I'll hand it over to Dave.
Hi, good morning, everybody. We're going to talk about the end of September numbers. A lot has happened since then. And last meeting, I talked about how we were going to have a week report for this month. So if you look at, well, we're going to wait for the report to come. Unless everybody has it.
Leanne, I know you probably aren't prepared because we usually don't do investment report first, but is there any chance that you could put up the investment report?
Yeah, there she goes.
Thank you.
Perfect. You're welcome.
One more page. There you go. Well, there. So for the month, we're down a little over 3%. Across the board. If you look over to the year-to-date number, up about 4%. Fiscal year since July 1st is obviously down, but the one-year number still double digits, and out to the inception number of 19, up 7.85%. So it was a tough month for both stocks and bonds. We'll go into our large-cap portfolio. Sizer, we talked about last meeting, good long-term numbers, just up against it because of the way they're a core manager this year. Spoke to them recently, still very comfortable with them. Atalanta is our growth manager. Done a good job, absolutely and relatively, compared to their peer group. I just spoke to them yesterday. They're up close to 20% going into yesterday. However, yesterday was a good day. It's lining up for another bad day in equity. So we're down about 11% in the NASDAQs from the high. So getting a decent pullback here. And I'll talk about seasonality briefly at the end of this. Aristotle's got good numbers below that. Up one-year number, 16 versus 14, so they're doing well. Mutual of America, on the mid-cap side, we were supposed to have them in for their fixed income and equity portfolio for this meeting. And I did a Zoom call with them last Thursday with a couple PMs, including Chris Malfant, who runs their fixed income portfolio. I'm very comfortable with their style, conservative, but we went through a lot of different things, including track and error and their opinion on the entire market. So a conservative portfolio doing well against their benchmark on the fixed income side and close both fixed income and equity to their benchmark. So they're doing a job. We'll continue to talk to them about, adding value to these portfolios above and beyond the benchmark. Cook and Beeler on the mid-cap side, if you look all the way over to the one-year number, fantastic. Double what they're hired to do. So we're happy with them on both their portfolios. Look over to small cap. We talked about Clearbridge last meeting, who's struggling. So we're in the process right now of doing a quantitative search with our software systems. We're going to do a search for all of small cap, mostly because of Clearbridge, because Channing and Cook are doing well. But we're going to throw it into the universe and see how they play out. And come back with some options on that, the possible replacement. We have a couple of names in mind that we've talked to on the qualitative side, but on the quant side, we want to run it and see where the universe is. Just as a note, too, we needed money for benefits. So one of the ways that we do this over time is not only look to search managers, but we penalize with withdrawals. So we took money from Clearbridge, WCM, and Western to pay benefits. So about $7 million for the portfolio to trim it. And pay benefits. Now, since then, on the 20th, which was last Friday, for your notes, we received from the city $30,228,369 as a first payment of the ARC. So now we're flush again with cash, which is good. And we'll talk about at the end about how we're going to possibly deploy that and over time. Go back to international equities. We have a banner staff here when it comes to the one-year number. Everybody's up double digits. It's just a good asset class right now. A lot going on in the world. Yen's in trouble and many other things globally, but our international equity portfolios have done well, as you can see. Fixed income has been a challenge. You look at the fiscal year-to-date number, it's just been all over the place. The bond market is tough. Bond market is, they say that's where the smart people work, but it's been tough. I mean, you think about like the Middle East and what's going on there. When there's havoc across the world, people buy fixed income. They go to buy treasuries because it's a safe haven. The 10-year off the top of my head, since what happened in Israel, is up about 15 basis points. It went from like 480 to 496. That's counterintuitive. People should be buying treasuries in times like this. So the bond market's an issue. It's a really big issue with the 10-year hitting 5%. I haven't seen that in a very long time. Puts the Federal Reserve in a very difficult spot. We'll see GDP numbers in about another half an hour, 20 minutes or so. We'll see what that is. But a roaring economy, a consumer that continues to spend, and it's driving the Fed into a corner where it's tough for them to provide liquidity, and it's tough for them to lower rates. It's the complete opposite of Japan. Japan's looking for inflation. It's been deflationary forever, so rates are at zero. That's their problem. Us, we're way high at 5%. We're trying to figure out when that's going to end. I think they're done with raising, in my personal opinion, and I think 2024 will be a challenging market on the equity side, but I think the bond market will help rally that and balance it out a little bit. Down across the fixed income managers, everyone's doing decent. The real star of the show is Serenitas. They came in and presented about a year ago in October. It's an alternative type fixed income portfolio with a lot of derivative type investments. But we knew what they were going to do, and they've done it, up 8% versus a market of up 64 basis points. So we will be the reverse of some of the other managers. We should be adding to that portfolio because of their strength and the way they've proven what they do. Look over to the next page. Those numbers are a little stale because, again, we got the $30 million in. We'll talk about that in one moment. And then below that, Alkeon, which is our liquid alternative fund, our long-short equity fund, still doing okay. Year-to-date up 15 versus 9. So they're going to ride through this turmoil as we go. With the cash, I just sent you a slide, Lana. Is there any way you could pull up that email I just sent you about 5 minutes ago? Between now and then.
I got the email, but it's not an attachment. It's literally just like a picture. So I don't think there's a way for me to share it because it's not like an actual like PDF attachment.
Don't sweat it. It's just something that it's a chart from JP Morgan that I got of all places off of Twitter. But it's a legit chart from them. And it talks about seasonality. And it looks like right at the bottom of September, November, over the last 50 years is where you get the seasonal bounce in November and December. So it's going to be muted this year based on what's going on globally, but we still think there will be a little bit of a bounce here. With that said, we talked about the alternatives to stocks when it comes to cash. So we're going to recommend that we put that money into a liquid. It's a daily liquid money market fund. We're either going to do Federated or Fidelity, and these pay up until yesterday 5.35% interest, and it's daily liquidity, and they're millions and billions of dollars, and we use it across the board for clients. So. Good parking spot. It'll not only give us a good parking spot, but it'll give us a good return on something that's very, very safe. And then we'll get a plan as to how we're going to deploy because we have even more money coming in. It's another almost, I think it's $20 million exactly that's due because I think it was 50. I have it somewhere in my notes, but I think it's like $50,228,000, give or take. Or maybe it's 25 coming early.
It's 25.
25. Yeah, so there'll be a lot of money in there. We'll continue to earn interest on that and then get a plan as to deploying it back into the total portfolio, maybe adding a few managers here and there, but really getting it to get it going. But it's going to be slower this year than usual. We're going to talk about that with the IPS and the asset allocation, make an exception to that because we won't be fully allocated, but we'll put it in our notes and talk about why in our system so everybody's on the same page as to why we're sitting on so much cash. And that's a recommendation to go outside of our IPS and asset allocation because of that. First time in very, very long time that we have that option. So I think we should take it and go slow. One last thing, trustee training is something that we've dropped the ball on in the last 6 months to a year. We're going to put together a little trustee training day during the holidays. Hopefully either that or after the first of the year, we can bring everybody in. Do a luncheon or something like that. Have a few speakers, some people that we've hired to manage money and learn a few things, check off a few boxes because it's important for trustees to continue to do that. And we'll also provide, national meetings if you wanted to attend those for credits or whatever else you want to get out of it. So with that, I'll open up to any questions this morning or I'll let you go on with your meeting.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the trusted trainings. Yeah. Any questions for Dave?
Dave,
Trustee Cannon.
Dave, in alternatives, Graco, is that the partnership group that we've had for a long time that's been a little bit of a headache?
Yeah, they have been, they were, yes. And it's a illiquid, I have to get the date on that.
We're not able to liquidate that?
No, but it's not far from It's not far from that option. I got to look at it. It's usually the 8 or 10 year investment with a 2 year optionality on the hedge fund side. But I will look into that. But right now, no, it's not liquid. It's a legacy fund from prior, before I got here. But I'm going to look at the dates on that for you and see what the closest date is to getting some movement on that.
When you say it's not liquid, are we subjected to a penalty on that $5 million?
Yeah.
Can you give me an idea what it would be?
I could look into it. I'm not sure. I don't know if the attorneys might have a better answer on that as far as contract wise, but I can get an answer on that. I don't know if it's a percentage penalty or it's more of a litigation penalty. Problem is that I'll get an answer for that, but it's something where there's a group of investors like private equity that all sign on to the same documents. And so if they give us a preference of liquidation and getting out, everyone's going to want that same preference. So I apologize, Trustee Cannon, but I will get more information for you on that.
Thank you. This is that company that was in litigation, right? This is that LLP?
No. This is not. This is a fund of fund hedge funds. I think you're talking about Capital Point,
okay.
Which is a continuing saga. But we do get numbers from them, and they are in the portfolio, and they are in the audits and actual evaluation. It's just an ongoing battle with that. Capital Point won again.
Any questions for Dave? Thank you. And I apologize early on. We did have a quorum. I just wasn't counting well. And moving on to item two, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Second.
There's a motion by Trustee Cannon, a second by Trustee McDermott. Any discussion on the minutes? Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, Trustee Cannon.
Aye.
Trustee McDermott.
Aye.
Trustee Rivero.
Sorry, aye.
That's okay. Trustee Vereen.
Aye.
Trustee Corse.
And I'm an aye as well.
I'm sorry, Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well, so that passes. Thanks, Trustee Brooks. Moving on to item three, administrative matters. I'm going to pass over item 3A unless there's any objections. Item 3B, Hooker and Holcomb contract renewal. Is there a motion to take it off the table? Can we have a motion to take it off the table to discuss the item, please?
So move, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Trustee Rivero, second.
So Trustee Brooks made the motion. Trustee Rivero made the second. Discussion on taking it off the table. All in favor of taking it off the table, Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Rivero?
Aye.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
No.
And I am an aye. So it is off the table. Discussion on the item. Maybe, Leanna, you can give us a quick reminder about this item.
Yes, hi, let me, I can share the screen as well. Good morning. As a reminder, this was on the agenda last month because our current contract with the actuary, which, we've been with them for a very long time, but this current contract ends at the end of this month, October 31st. So there has been a draft sent last month and this month, basically just to, potentially renew their contract. It would be potentially for 4 years. And they did give a breakdown of two payment options, but I do have both Rich and David on the call in case there are any questions directed towards them. They are open or flexible to, what the trustees prefer for a payment option. Let me just pull that up for you guys. They're not trying to change anything in the actual contract. The contract as it is would remain the same. As a reminder, the actuary, we work with them on an everyday basis. No complaints from an administrative point. They're very easy to get a hold of. They're very, they respond to any inquiries or questions that we have. They're also who created the retirement pension portal for current employees to go on and run estimates themselves at any time of the day from any location. That's also the same portal that's used to actually finalize retirements. So this is their two options for that they proposed for, you know, possibility to renew for a 4-year contract.
Excellent. Richard, David, do you have anything to add? And maybe you could remind us a little bit about the two options we discussed the last time. But.
Sure, of course. We don't have too much to add. I'll just echo what Leanna was saying. We love the current contract. We're not trying to change any aspect of it, but the fees have remained level since 2019. They haven't changed. So we just want to start increasing them. And there's two options for how we start increasing them. And we just want to be mindful of your budget, whichever one works best for you. So just I'll read the ones in front of us. Option one is just bump up the rates by about 10% because they haven't changed in 4 years and then they were to remain level for 4 years. So you just bump them up a big amount once and then they remain flat for 4 years. Option two, you just start bumping them up 3% this year, 3% next year, 3% the year after that. And again, we're just giving options to be mindful of or to be flexible with whatever your budgetary needs are.
Thank you. Discussion from trustees.
Trustee Rivera.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Is this standard practice to propose annual increases as opposed to reviewing it on an annual basis and deciding what we want to increase it by? Is that standard practice?
For any contract, I wouldn't say there's one standard practice, but the most recent contract was a 4-year contract that looked at fees just once every 4 years. So this is option one is kind of just continuing that. We look at fees once every 4 years. And option two is kind of just changing it slightly to just set them in place for every year. If you wanted to revisit it each year, that technically might just be a 1-year contract, you know, just renewed each year. That would be fine as well, honestly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Trustee Rivera. Lena, do you mind taking this down unless any trustee needs to keep it up so we can look at each other? Thank you. Trustee Rivera, do you have another question?
No, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions from the trustees?
Trustee Cannon.
I see Trustee Cannon.
I'm not sure who just spoke from Booker and Holt.
I think it was David.
David, is that a third option you're presenting, a year-to-year?
To be honest, we're very flexible with your needs. So if you wanted to change this from a 4-year contract to a 1-year contract, we'd be open to that. That's something we hadn't really considered. So Rich and I would likely have to talk about it. Rich, is there anything you want to touch on with that?
Yeah, just a little bit of history. The 4-year contract was at the request of PNF. So that's why it's 4 years. So we were just expecting another 4-year contract because that was your standard 4 years ago.
Discussion from the
chair,
Trustee Brooks.
So the 4 years ago, the standard fee was $69,000 for the entire contract. Am I to understand that?
That was new as of 2019, yes.
Okay.
So I'll make a quick comment and then we can, it looks like Trustee Cannon has another comment. I think Hooker and Holcomb has been incredibly reliable. They've always been respectful of the requests of the PNF committee and trustees. And I suspect that we'll end up putting out an RFP for a medical consultant, but that item's next. And it would be good to have some certainty if there was an issue. I can imagine changing course, but in my view, from what I've seen, they've been very, very solid, and you know, the proposal is pretty reasonable. I think I'd choose the second one, the tiered 3% each year, if we were going to choose one, but that's my view. Other questions or comments? Trustee Cam.
David, is there going to be a penalty if we choose to do year to year? If we do these second plan, as the mayor has pointed out, 3% increase, but if we were to choose to cut 2 years down the road, is there a penalty involved?
Rich, do you have an answer for that?
I'd have to look at the contract. I don't think there's one in there, but I'd have to pull it up and look at it. Okay, I think there's a note. There may be a notification period.
I'm sorry, Rich, can you say that again?
Yeah, I think there might be a notification period, but there's no penalty.
Okay. Would that be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Of this new fee structure, look, can we go over what this covers also?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. So it's a flat fee contract, and that was new in 2019. Before that, the contract you kind of paid per item that I'm about to discuss. So this is all covered under the one flat fee, and I'll just go through the biggest items, but calculations, retirement, disability, buybacks, break in service, COLA buyouts, VAL reports, which is every other year, GASB disclosures, which is every year, annual data updates, data reconciliation, kind of just keeping track of your data for you so Leanna can use it at her disposal, the annual report to employees, the biennial COLA updates, the annual benefit statements, access to the portal for your current employees to estimate or check their retirement pension, and then just general consulting and helping Leanna's department with whatever they need. So that's covered. All of that is covered under the one fee.
You mentioned access to the portal, but that does not mean the cost of the portal. Is that a separate cost?
No, those are the same thing.
Okay. Leanna, can you tell me the last time an RFP went out for actuary?
It was done at the same time, I think, 2017 or 2018. Same time as the medical, same time as, I think, legal services.
Additional questions or comments from the trustees?
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Go ahead, Attorney Cronin.
Well, we may have to, the trustees may have to consider if the plan is to change to a one-year contract, the fund may have to send out an RFP each year if they're going to recontract. And so the structure may have to be a multiple-year contract renewable at the 12 and 24-month period.
Thanks,
just something to think about.
Thanks, Attorney
Crowley. Trustee Rivera.
Go ahead.
So just to piggyback on that, just to be clear, is this contract 1 year with three options to renew, or is it a straight 4 year contract?
It was intended to be a 4 year contract, just because, as Rich said, that's what was requested of us 4 years ago, and it would be in continuation with the most recent contract.
If I may, Trustee Rivera, to clarify, it's a 4 year contract, but we could cancel it with a certain we think 60, 30, 90 days, you have to look it up, notice, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And since I have a follow-up question, and I was just looking through it. So the fee structure, though, are we paying installments on a monthly basis, or how are we making payments?
Quarterly right now.
Quarterly, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
And that quarter is like when, like, March? Like every end of each quarter on the calendar year or end of each
quarter? Yes. Calendar year, yes. I mean, actually, we started on October 1. No, we're billing on a quarterly calendar year basis. That's correct, yes.
So our first bill will be in December of this year? No, it would be January. If we start November 1st, it would be end of January.
We just sent a bill covering July 1 to October 1. So the next bill will be October 1 to January 1, and you'll get that in January.
Okay, thank you.
I heard Trustee Brooks.
Yeah, so in keeping with Attorney Crumby, I think probably option 2 might seem like the best option for us. As I think, as you stated earlier, given the fact that it's going to be a 4 year contract, just so I'm clear, it's going to be a 4 year contract with increment increases in the contract for each year, 3%. Is that correct?
Yes, that is option 2, correct.
Okay. That is all I have, Mr. Chair.
And I just add that, if there are there in the future arise concerns from the trustees, we do have the option to terminate this contract and put this out to RFP anytime during the 4 years with that notice period.
So just based on what you said about the fees, just looking at the contract, it does say that, if I'm reading it correctly, that we will be billed monthly. So if it is going to be quarterly, does that need to be updated in the contract?
Yeah. Yes, we would update that. That's correct. There's a couple wording changes that need to be made. That's one of them on our list, yes.
So if we were to approve this today, and we get a copy of the contract and say wording or something is not satisfactory, would we have a chance to, this is, I guess, directed to the chair, would we have a chance to revisit anything like that?
Yeah, I think we just clarify, and I don't have the contract in front of me, but is it possible for you to look at the notice period and just give it so we get clarity on that now?
Yeah, 30 days.
30 days. So 30 days notice. And then in the contract that is in front of us for approval, it says monthly payments, and you are changing that to quarterly payments. Is that correct?
Yes, we've actually been doing quarterly for a while. That was, again, likely at the PNF trustee's request. Is there an interest in having us bill you monthly?
No, I'm okay with quarterly if the trustees are. I just noticed the you know, the difference in what you said you were doing to what the contract states, and was just pointing that out.
Yes, that's correct. There's a discrepancy. You're right about that, and we will update that.
Okay, so if we were, Trustee Rivero, I think, to approve it today, we would approve it with the understanding that the specific language around payments would move from monthly to quarterly.
Yes, if that's the pleasure of the board, yes.
Mr. Chair.
Trustee Brooks.
I'd like to make a motion. We accept this extension of this four-year contract with option two, and that the contract should reflect the quarterly payments.
Is there a second?
Second.
So there's a motion by Trustee Brooks, second by Trustee Rivero. Any discussion on motion?
Trustee Cannon.
Go ahead, Trustee Cannon.
My concern is that we're, as the board, trustees, that we have a fiduciary responsibility. We're going to sign up a contract for 4 years. We have it in front of us. I don't understand why we wouldn't RFP just to see if there's anyone else out there willing to do the work with a better product or a cheaper product. I believe it's our fiduciary responsibility to at least attempt to do an RFP. You know, it has been 4 years. I know there was turmoil in the world 4 years ago with, you know, COVID coming along and all that, but I just believe it's something we should consider. Mr. Hooker and Holcomb may prevail. I'm sure they will, but it would also open our eyes to other companies that are out there that may have a different fee structure, a cheaper fee structure. So that's what I believe we should be considering. Thank you.
Trustee Rivera.
Trustee Cannon.
Trustee Rivera.
So to your point, because the contract does end at the end of the month, if we wanted to do that, would we have to, do we have the option to extend this contract? Because we wouldn't want to be with no service while we're doing the RFP, or would it be prudent to maybe go to the option, the four-year option with option to renew, as opposed to a straight four-year option, and then during that time we could look into possibly put out an RFP if we so choose? Is that an option?
Yes, so this current contract does have a 90-day extension which you can utilize, and to be honest, if you're considering RFP, we don't want to put any pressure on you, so there's, you know, take your time with it, think about it, and if for some reason that 90 days isn't enough, you know, we'd love to give you as much time as you need to make your decision.
Does that satisfy you, Trustee Cannon?
Yes, it does.
Just a note on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, David or Richard, but we could do this either way. We could extend the existing contract, or we could approve this new contract, put it out for RFP, and give you notice. Correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, it seems to me, in my view, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. That things are going well, and I don't think it's in our field at this moment. But if the trustees decide to do that, we could approve the motion as Trustee Brooks proposed it, and then at a future meeting to make a determination of whether or not to do an RFP.
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Attorney Grumman.
Just one point to consider as another option. The fund would be able to, rather than a full-blown RFP process, just to test the waters to see who's out there, do a request for quotes and distribute that widely. And that would give you a sense of what other companies may be out there and what other prices may be. And if you are interested, then the board can go out to a full-blown RFP process. So is this a point to consider for efficiency and to save some time?
Are we frozen?
I can hear you.
I think we lost them.
I think we lost them.
That was a drop the mic comment, I guess, huh?
No, right? Boom.
I think we heard most of the substance of what you were explaining.
Mr. Chair, we lost you for a moment. So if you said anything profound during that time, we didn't hear it.
There's a lot of important things that you missed. I thought Attorney Crumby dropped, but it sounds like we dropped. Attorney Crumby, I think we heard the substance, most of the substance of what you were saying. You were suggesting we could also have the option in the future to do an RFQ instead of a full-blown RFP process, correct?
Just an option to consider for efficiency purposes, yes.
Understood. So I saw Michael Gormley on the call, and I just wanted to know, Michael Gormley, if you could give us some thoughts on RFQ versus RFP.
Yeah. Good morning, trustees. So we could do an RFQ process, but a lot of times, because you want that pricing structure, you would really want to do the RFP itself. I mean, in this situation, it sounds like we would really want to do an RFP. Because basically we'd be testing the waters anyways with the RFP pricing, and we would get the pricing structure along with their proposal. So that if the trustees wanted to go out and see what was out there, my suggestion would be in a RFP.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gorman and Trustee Rivera.
Yeah. So would it be prudent then to, and I can't remember exactly what how the motion was stated, but would it be prudent then to just to continue the service with no interruptions at this point to approve for, the 1 year with the 3 year options, and during this 1 year, we can then do an RFP process that might satisfy everyone, and because I think going out for RFP within the next 90 days might be tight. Mr. Gormley can certainly comment on that, but that's like really tight schedule. So if we were to renew for the three options, then during this year, we can go back out with an RFP and have more time to really do it correctly.
Mr. Rivera, I didn't quite understand what you said as far as 1 year with the 3 year option.
Yeah, so I thought Trustee Brooks made a motion to do a 4 year contract. That's what I thought I heard, as opposed to the 1 year with three options to renew, which would end up being 4 years. So this gives us the ability to every year during this year to do an RFP process. If we do it a 4 year straight, we'd have to terminate and do an RFP. And that's, to me, that gets a little bit more messy, as opposed to maybe 6 months before the contract ends, do an RFP process, and then decide not to renew the contract if that's what we wanted to do. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Gormley.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. So this board does have, I think what Mr. Brooks and what Trustee Ribeiro are talking about is really just doing a, we do this at the city from time to time with various contracts, is we do a one-year contract, and then at the discretion of the board, you could add into language, at the discretion of the board, you can either renew or not renew the actual agreement from year to year. As Trustee Ribeiro said, I think if you agree to a one-year contract and this and the trustees decide to do an RFP, that gives us a little bit more time to develop and advertise the RFP within that year period, as opposed to the next 90 days.
Thank you for repeating it so eloquently.
Mr. Chair,
a clarifying question to David and Rich. So I'm not clear. That option is on the table, I think is what you said. And could we choose option A?
We lost you again, Mr. Chair.
Can you guys hear us?
We can hear you now.
We can hear you now.
David, Rich, I just want to clarify if we accepted a contract that is 1 year with an option to renew, are the terms of option A still available to us? Is that still appropriate?
So you'd renew, you'd get the 3% increase, it'd be a year, and then we'd rediscuss after a year. Is that correct?
I think that's my understanding of what Trustee Ribeiro's line of questioning was. Is that correct, Trustee Ribeiro?
So I think we're okay with that. That wasn't something we had discussed, so I don't want to speak too quickly, but Rich, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, help me understand. How's that any different than renewing and having a 30-day option to terminate?
Trustee Ribeiro?
I'm just thinking just in terms of continuing the service. I mean, yeah, we can have a 30-day option to terminate, but within 30 days, are we going to get a new vendor? Because you have to procure it, and procurement is going to take more than 30 days. So that was, you know, the reason why I was trying to give procurement more time, but that's that's a question for Mr. Gormany.
I think that to Rich's point, we could start an RFP process even 6 months in advance, and then if we chose another firm, we would give 30 days notice to Booker and Holcomb to that we're planning on ending the contract.
Correct.
So it's just up to us to be
Yeah, that's fine with me if that's fine with the trustees. Just trying to satisfy everyone's concerns. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Trustee Ribeiro. Trustee Kahn.
Just for clarification, I believe we have 1 month left on this, and then we have an option of a 90-day extension.
We have one. We have until next week, the 31st.
And then we have an option for a 90-day, which is 3 months. I'm sure we can start the process and get that RFP done within 3 months. I will remind this board, we have a trust, we have a fiduciary responsibility. We're locking into a 4-year contract at a price structure where we should test the waters. Personally, I feel that we should be looking at that. I will point out that Attorney Crumby is now with us because we were able to RFP and go out and test the waters out there. And this is what we ended up with, is Attorney Crumby. And, I think that's what we should be holding for all our vendors. And the actuarial vendors are very nice guys. I appreciate your work and everything like that. But other than this contract laid out in front of us, I don't know what else is out there. So I think we should just start the RFP process now. We have within 120 days, I'm pretty sure we can get it done. We already know Hooker and Holcomb, so see what else comes in. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kim, Trustee Brooks.
It seems to me that the RFP process should have been started quite some time ago. And unlike the RFP for the attorneys, we did start that at a more adequate time. And so I think the proposal before us is that we should accept this. There's an opportunity for us to revisit potentially any changes. I do like the idea of what Attorney Crum said, and that is we could do test the waters, because doing an RFP and testing the waters are kind of two different things. And so I do think if we want to look at a fee structure to see if there's comparable fee structures out there, then we could do that, and then we can get into doing an RFP. But my motion stands. I think we should accept option B and move forward from there. And I think the contract gives us an opportunity to get out of the contract in the event that, you know, we should need to do so.
Thank you, Trustee Brooks. Trustee Kim.
Trustee Brooks, my concern, we sit here representing police and firefighters. We also represent the city taxpayers. We have a responsibility to the city taxpayers to prudently run this fund. And for the sake of just announcing an RFP over the next 3 months, just to go out there and make sure that we're doing this, managing this fund properly. That's our responsibility, not only to police and firefighters, but to the taxpayers and the citizens of the city of New Haven. I personally would like to ask you to rescind your motion. I understand if you won't. And then we consider an RFP, and for the sake of, accountability to the citizens and police and firefighters, this is our fund.
Thank you, Trustee Kent. Obviously, all the trustees care about our fiduciary responsibility. And it sounds to me that overall the trustees' opinion is about, is interested in the RFP process. It's just about how the timeline, whether we can fit it all in 3 months, which, as we know, the attorney's process took quite a long time, or whether we need more time to do so, and this buys us more time to do so. So, you know, I think Trustee Brooks's proposal is very reasonable, and we should just move forward with the vote. I see Trustee McDermott's hand up.
And just to make sure that I'm clear on this, we could be, if we agree to this contract with proper notice, we could be out of it in 30 days, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm not sure, I know, Pat, you feel strongly about this, but, you know, what's to stop us from going forward with this for now to ensure we have a contract and an actuary going forward? Still send that RFP out. And, you know, if we get the results and we say, oh, my God, you know, these other proposals are really compelling and we want to consider it, what's to stop us from taking a look at one of those proposals and then providing, you know, Hooker and Holcomb with a 30-day notice as provided with this contract? If nothing, you know, comes back from the RFP that's really earth-shattering, we can continue with the contract as agreed with Hooker and Holcomb. Am I missing something here as to why we couldn't do that? What's preventing us?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah, or it's an open question for anyone, because to me that seems like a clear logical course of action, and you know, maybe there's a factor that I'm not considering there.
Hooker and Holcomb, Richard, how long have you guys been with the New Haven Police and Fire Pension?
Quite a while.
Can you give me an idea? 20 years?
At least.
Okay. 20 years. I appreciate everything you do. This is not about Hooker and Holcomb. This is not about this particular contract options. This is about just doing our fiduciary responsibility to go out and see what else is out there and what pricing structure and services are out there. And I have no problem with continuing with Hooker and Holcomb now, the time being. I'd like an RFP to be announced, and we can go about continuing business with them and cut it off after 30 days if we do find it. But they're going to have to go through an RFP process also, along with everyone else. So those are my concerns.
Well, I wasn't saying not to do the RFP.
Okay.
You know, that if we agree to this, we do have an out through the contract. We can do the RFP. And again, if there's, you know, if there's a result that we find compelling, we can move on that. If not, then, you know, then we'll stick with the contract. I mean, I think we're making this kind of an all or nothing proposition with this contract, when based on my understanding, it's not. So again, if there's something I'm missing here, please say so. But you know, I don't see a reason why we can't both vote on a contract today and do an RFP. This, for our legal counsel, is there anything that I'm missing here that would prevent us from approving a contract and sending an RFP just to make sure that we're doing our diligence to the expenses for the fund?
No, the process as he described it is legitimate.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Trustee Brooks.
I call the question.
So there's a motion to call the question. I'm rusty on my Robert's rules, but I think there needs to be a second for a second from Trustee Vereen to call the question. All in favor of calling the question, which means to end discussion and require a vote, please signify by saying aye. Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
Trustee Vereen.
Aye.
Trustee Rivera?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Buchanan?
Nay.
And I'm an aye, so the question is called. All those in favor of Trustee Brooks's motion, please signify by saying aye. Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Rivera?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Trustee Cannon's an aye.
And I am an aye as well. So Trustee Brooks's motion passes.
Could we go over what was the actual? Was there any mention of an RFP in that?
There was not. But I think that we can just ask Mr. Gormany to work with Leanna to start the RFP process understand some interest in moving that process along. So, Mr. Gormany, can you confirm that you'll start working on that process?
Yes, we'll certainly start developing the process in the next couple of weeks, and we will send it to the trustees before we advertise it to make sure we captured everything, and then advertise the RFP once confirmed.
Thanks, Mr. Gormany.
Thank you.
Moving on to item C, 3C, Integra Securities Litigation Analysis and Recommendation.
This is Leanna. We do have Nancy Kalesa on the call. Thank you for joining us. She is going to discuss item 3C with everyone.
Good morning. Do you have my audio and video clearly?
Yes, we do.
Okay. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Nancy Kalesa. I'm a partner with Blegmar Fonte and Ald, and basically we monitor your investment portfolio for losses that are caused by fraud and malfeasance relating to your investments in public companies. And I'm here today to discuss a case that we're recommending that the fund seek to be appointed lead plaintiff in, given the scope of the fund's loss and the misconduct. And the case involves a company called Integra Life Sciences. The case is pending in the District of New Jersey before Judge Michael Shipp. The company itself makes regenerative tissue technologies such as wound care products, surgical tape, surgical reconstructive tissue products. And most of the company's most important products are manufactured at a facility in Boston. So in 2018, November, the company received an FDA notice that they were being inspected on something called Form 483. That put the company on notice that the company's quality controls and manufacturing conditions at the Boston facility were not in conformity with FDA guidelines. About 5 months later, in March of 2019, the FDA issued a warning letter to Integra, citing failure in the company's quality control systems, citing failure to test for bacterial endotoxins in its medical devices and production facilities at the Boston facility. And so after that time, this is where the class period begins. We and the complaint are alleging that Integra defrauded investors because after it received this warning letter, the company stated that it was taking significant steps to remediate the problems at the Boston facility. The company also represented that the warning letter did not and would not require product recall. And the company also represented that the issues at the Boston facility did not present any patient safety issues at all. After that, the company repeatedly touted that it was on track to grow its market for a key product that it was developing called SurgiMend. SurgiMend was a product manufactured at the Boston facility that they were trying to obtain FDA approval for. And this product is used in post-mastectomy reconstructive breast surgery. And so while they're representing that they have no problems, that their products are on track for development, you know, investors are investing. Then suddenly on April 26th, the company announced that it was pausing production at its Boston facility. On this news, of course, they announced disappointing operating margins for that quarter. There was an 8% stock drop. And a couple of weeks later, on May 23rd, 2023, the company announced a global recall of all of its products manufactured at the Boston facility for the last 5 years. That's going back to 2018. It's basically everything manufactured at this facility was recalled because the facility had violated good manufacturing process with respect to testing for bacterial toxins. You know, they just basically completely failed to do that. On this news, the company stock tanked another 20%. At that point, the company had to take a $22 million impairment charge to write off all of this impaired inventory. In total, because of all these disclosures, the company's misconduct washed away about $1 billion in shareholder value. So pretty extreme. To date, the facility in Boston has still not reopened for manufacturing. Basically, the earliest this can reopen is the end of 2024. There are doubts as to whether or not that will even happen. And this is a particularly good case because while all this is going on, the CEO sold $28 million worth of his personal shares and holdings, which is like three times more than what he had sold prior to the time when all of this was going on with the FDA. Pursuant to that, surprisingly or unsurprisingly, he resigned in 2021. And then there were just a slew of resignations by the company executives. The CFO resigned in February of 2023. The COO resigned in September of 2022. And these resignations occurred coterminously or very close to inspections of the facilities. So basically what we're alleging is that the company failed to take like sufficient measures or really any measures to remediate the violations that the FDA had identified for them. And while they failed to remediate, they were also out there touting their products and that, you know, nothing would need to be recalled. We know that was not at all the case. So we think this case is very good on the merits. It sort of has all of the makings of a good case. We have misrepresentations. Those misrepresentations are tied to stock drops and loss causation. We think that this case has scienter, which is an element of these cases that's necessary to prove them. in court or at trial, particularly the sales of stock by company insiders while all of this was going on, and they clearly had knowledge. And then there are a couple of other things that we have done in terms of our investigation. We have obtained documents that were not public from the FDA. I can't disclose the content of them, but I can say that you know, these documents evince that senior executives were aware of the safety issues and violations at the heart of this case that strongly support the investor claims. We are also requesting additional documents from the FDA, which are going to show the more granular communications between Integra, the company itself, and the FDA, showing what the company knew. But it looks pretty obvious, you know, just based on what has been released publicly, that the company was well aware of these violations while they were stating that there would be no recalls, that there would be, you know, that they were continuing to comply with the FDA procedures while they clearly were not. So basically, in recommending a case, what we suggest is that your fund move to be appointed as lead plaintiff. It is possible that, you know, that we may wish to combine you with another group that has similar losses. The lead plaintiff deadline is November 13th. So what we would do is stay in touch with you if you do approve to move forward with this case. And, you know, in the event that we decided to combine you with another fund, we would certainly have a discussion with you about that. But today, what I'm suggesting is that you authorize us to move on behalf of the fund to serve as lead plaintiff. And just to go briefly into a lead plaintiff is a representative of a class of investors who have lost money as a result of malfeasance. And basically, they make decisions in the case concerning basically everything from whether or not a settlement is appropriate. You know, we speak to you concerning decisions of the case, obviously, if we go to trial, and you would have more of an active role and an outcome, active role in the outcome of the case. And the reason I suggest that is you have a large financial interest in the case. The fund incurred a loss of about $286,000 in connection with its purchases of this stock during the class period. This would all be done, of course, on a contingency fee basis. There's no direct cost to the fund. So at the end of the case, if there were a settlement or if the case was resolved at trial, we would go to the court, submit our fees, and the court would then have to approve any fees and expenses that we had requested. And of course, that would the fees and expenses would, of course, all be you know, brought to your attention before anything went to the court. And, you know, so I think this is one instance. We usually don't bring too many cases to you, but I think in this particular case, you have a large loss. And given the losses we've seen that are out there, we think this is a significant loss. We think you have an opportunity to take a leadership role in this case. And we think this represents a credible opportunity for recovery. So for all those reasons, we recommend that you move to approve moving for representation of the class and the Integra stock purchasers in this case. So if anyone has any questions, I would be very happy to address them.
Thanks, Nancy. Questions from the trustees?
Trustee Rivera.
Yes. Trustee Rivera.
So what will we have to do? Just say yes, we want to be a part of this? I mean, what other steps do we have to take?
Yeah, there's what's called a certification of lead plaintiff that would be signed. And basically it just says that, you know, it would have a list of the fund's transactions. It would say that you purchase shares during the class period, and it would say that you're willing to serve as a representative of the class. Basically that you're not accepting any compensation for serving as a representative, and you know that you're willing to basically monitor the case and, you know, stay in touch with us and help make decisions concerning the case going forward. And then you would be expected to just sort of, sorry to interrupt you. You know, just expected to, we would stay in touch with you, report back to you on the case. And you would be expected to just be in touch with us concerning important decisions about the case as it goes forward. But it would not take up a significant amount of your time, effort, or energy. And I think, you know, we do our best to make sure that it doesn't, but just that we're in touch with you about important decisions in the case going forward.
My follow-up question. So my assumption would be that the direct contact would have to be our legal counsel on this. I mean, from, you know, attorney to attorney. And I would just would want to know, has our legal counsel been advised of this and have an opinion? I'd feel more comfortable before just saying, yes, we want to be a part of this to make sure that our legal counsel has totally vetted all of this and think that is prudent for the board to be a part of it.
Sure. Yeah, he received the obviously the memo on the case, and I'll let him speak to the worthiness of the case in his opinion, of course.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. I have received the information that Nancy provided. I don't have any reservations, Commissioner Ribeiro. It is, you know, a common practice in the industry in instances like this. And, you know, what Nancy's proposing is, in my mind, reasonable.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think I think we lost the mayor. And
we're still here.
Oh, they're there. Okay, I didn't see him. Sorry. Okay.
In conclusion, no reservations in the fund serving as lead plaintiff if it intends to do so.
Okay.
I love that. So also, so this is a stock that still trades.
Yes, correct. They still trade.
$1 billion company, so there's definitely money there. Portfolios, ClearBridge and both Cook and Beeler portfolios, so they're still long the stock. So let me ask you a question. If the stock quadruples from here in this time frame, that has nothing to do with our class action or the fund's class action.
If the stock quadruples, so just to go into it really quick, what we do, these cases are brought under the 1934 Act and Section 10B. And basically there is a look back period of 90 days after the end of the class period. The end of the class period here is May 22nd of 2023. So that period has already closed. So basically if you held the stock, if you're long on the stock, what we do is we take an average of the closing stock price for the next 90 days. So basically that would still show a loss for anyone who held the stock. You know, what happens in the future? I mean, at some point, you know, at some point, basically by statute, they cut off the look back period after 90 days. So if it were to quadruple tomorrow, which is very unlikely given that the production facility is currently closed, you know, you would still have a loss under the statute.
Okay.
You guys hear us?
I barely. Is there a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, we have an internet problem here. Was that Trustee Brooks?
Yes, it was. Mr. Chair, I would like to know what would be the cost to the fund if we should be the lead plaintiff? And Attorney Nancy might have stated this, but I just want to know for my clarification. What was the loss that the pension fund has suffered as a result of the malfeasance of this firm?
Yeah, I can answer that. The fund lost approximately $286,000 as a result of the malfeasance. There is no cost to you. We would propose that we represent you on a fully contingent basis. Our fees would then come out of the, if there was a settlement, out of the fund, that the settlement fund, and it would be subject to court approval. We would submit any fees and expenses to the court. The court would have to then approve those expenses. If there was no recovery, if, for example, the case was dismissed, we would not, there would be no fee. We would not charge anything. So.
Thank you. Trustee Rivera. I'm sorry, Trustee Brooks, you all set?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Yep. Trustee Rivera.
Yeah, so I may have missed this, but when you talk about us being the lead plaintiffs, how many other plaintiffs have signed on to this so far, and how many more are you looking to have sign on to this?
Yeah, at this point, I don't know exactly what the structure will be because there are still a few weeks left until the lead plaintiff deadline. What I'm suggesting is that you authorize us to, to move for your appointment as lead plaintiff. If we decided to add anyone to a grouping with you, we would consult with you before doing that. So at this point, I do not have a definitive answer, that there will be someone else. It's possible. If we didn't have a group, it would be a very small, manageable group, like one or two other public pension funds. We do have a couple others that are interested with similar losses. Right now, I would just be proposing that you move for appointment as lead. I'm just suggesting that, we might be flexible as we get closer to the deadline, if it makes sense, if we have a grouping that makes sense of another fund, possibly another public safety fund that suffered a similar loss. It might make sense to group you together. But at this point, I don't have a another plaintiff that I'm certain is going to move forward.
Thank you.
Trustee Cannon.
After all the commentary here, especially from our own attorney and our financial consultant Dave Moran, I moved motion for this firm to be the lead plaintiff, for this fund to be the lead plaintiff, and have this firm represent us.
So there's a motion on the table to authorize BFA on behalf of the fund to serve as lead plaintiff in this case. Is there a second?
Second.
So the motion has been made by Trustee Cannon, seconded by Trustee McDermott. Any discussion on the motion? Discussion. All those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Rivera?
Aye.
Aye.
Trustee Brooks? Trustee Brooks?
Muted.
You're muted, Trustee Brooks.
I apologize. Aye.
That's okay. And I'm an aye as well. Motion passes. Thank you, Nancy. Moving on to item three.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yep, take care. Item D, RFP for medical consultant.
Hi, good morning. This is Leanna. It was sort of brought up last month at last month's meeting, but we wanted to officially put it on the agenda for this month. This is in regards to discussing about going out for an RFP for a medical consultant. We currently use Yale Occupational Health. Just on an administrative standpoint, it's been very frustrating. Some of the trustees who have been here for a while understand that because it's been brought up in the past before. We just are constantly kind of like checking up on them, asking them for reports. It takes months to get reports. We still have sometimes people from like 8-9 months ago contacting us saying that, when am I going to be on the agenda? And me and my staff will tell you that we send multiple emails and we just get the same responses that they'll work on it. And then we don't hear from them. Another month goes by. I'm checking up on them again. So last time an RFP went out was around the same time, 2017, 2018. And I believe, unfortunately, they were, I think, the only ones who submitted for it. Again, that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So our hopes would be that there are more options out there now. Again, it's not necessarily saying that they don't do a good job. It's just it's very hard administratively to work with them. And I feel like things should be a little bit smoother. We should be getting reports a little bit quicker than we do.
Thank you, Leanna. I see Trustee Cannon has a question or comment.
I'd like to make a motion for RFP for medical consultant.
Trustee Cannon has made a motion to start the RFP process for a medical consultant. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second from Trustee Rivera. Any discussion on this?
actually just have a quick question, Leanna. Their contract is, remind us when it ends and if we can renew
it. Their contract is, I want to say, up in May, because I think it was a 3-year, and then with the with being able to extend it for 1 year. So I think we just extended it this past spring. So we have until May. So we are in a good window of a time frame, I think, to run this RFP in a timely fashion.
Okay. Thanks, Anna. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Rivero?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So that motion passes.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gorman needs to start the RFP process. Trustee Brooks?
Mr. Chair, if it's appropriate, I think it's wise for the pension board to send a letter to this provider and request that they be a little bit more efficient with staff in providing timely reports, and more efficiency in working with staff to prepare adequate information for the board.
I think that's a good suggestion, Trustee Brooks, and I'd be happy to sign that letter on behalf of the pension fund. Leanna, would you be able to draft something to express our concerns?
Yes, I'll do that.
I appreciate it.
Trustee Rivero?
Go ahead, Trustee Rivero.
Also, and Mr. Gorman can correct me if I'm saying anything incorrectly. I think that letter needs to be put in their procurement file. Just to show the dissatisfaction in what they're not doing correctly.
Duly noted. Duly noted. Okay, moving on to item 4, age annuity retirement information only. Just note item 4 for the record. Item 5, contribution withdrawals information only. Please note that for the record. Item 6 and item 7, death after retirement information only. Jack Deem, William Badger, and John Ahern. And item 7, survivor death after retirement information only. Florence Barakis, Marilyn Badger, and Carolyn Leary. If we could have a moment of silence for to reflect on the passing of those individuals, please. Thank you. Item 8, payment of the bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of the bills?
So moved.
There's a motion by Trustee Cannon. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee McDermott. Any discussion on payment of the bills?
Yes, sorry, Trustee Rivero. If I can just ask, I noticed with the legal invoices, which I'm okay with, but it says detailed statement of account, but it doesn't really give a detail of what transpired during the month. I know we're paying a flat fee, but it'd be good to know what activities has occurred during that month between legal counsel and the staff and or pension fund.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman? I think he dropped the mic too, Commissioner Rivero. They may be gone again.
Taylor, are you guys there?
Can you all hear us?
Yes, we can hear you.
My apologies. Attorney Crumby, did you answer Trustee Rivera's question?
I was waiting for you, Mr. Chairman. We can certainly start to track the activities during the month and create a more detailed representation of the activity during that month for our billing. That's not a problem.
Thank you.
Thanks, Attorney Crumby. Any other discussion on the motion to approve payment of the bills? All those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Rivero?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Thank Trustee Brooks, we didn't hear you, Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
Thanks. I think it's us, not you. And I'm an aye as well. Payment of the bills passes. Any old business? Any new business? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion. Second.
A motion made by Trustee Cannon, seconded by Trustee McDermott. All those in favor, Trustee Cannon.
Aye.
Trustee McDermott.
Aye.
Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
Trustee Grau.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
I'm an aye as well. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.